Turn with me, if you would, over to 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 16. A while back, I was out in the shop working on my pickup up to my elbows in grease. It was pouring down rain. And Stephanie wanted to come out and hang out with me, so she came out there. It was cold and raining. She came out there and no shoes, no socks, no jacket, no nothing. And she says, "Daddy, I want to be with you." I said, "Okay, but you gotta have a jacket, you gotta have shoes and socks and all that stuff. So go in the house and get all that stuff." So she goes in the house and gets all that stuff. Comes back out a little while later. And about 3 minutes later, she's tired of being about outside with her daddy, so she wants to go back in the house. I said, "Okay, go back in the house." About 5 minutes later, she comes back out. No shoes, no socks, no jacket. And she wants to be with daddy. And I said, "Stephanie, you've got to have shoes and socks and a jacket when you're outside in the rain." "Okay." So she goes back in the house to get her shoes and socks and jacket. About 10 minutes later, she comes back out with nothing. Anyway, that went on a few times. Finally, she comes out with her jacket in one hand and her shoes in the other hand. And I said, "Well, you got your jacket and you got your shoes, but where's your socks?" "They're in my boot right there." Anyway, so I kind of flabbergasted, said, "Okay, come on." I went in the house to wash the grease off my hands so I could help her put her shoes and her socks and her jacket on. And on the way in, she followed me in, and I was just flustered and talking to myself under my breath. And I said, "I just don't understand. It's just hurting my brain to even imagine what's going through your little head." And she says, "I'm sorry, Daddy. I hope you get feeling better soon." So, all that to say, I hope all the sick ones get feeling better soon. Let's see. Okay, let's read this. Where am I at? What am I doing? 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord. I just ask your blessing on it. I pray that you'd help me to just get out of the way and let you speak to us. And just help me not to get in the way and mess it up. Lord, you have a message for us, and it's truth, and it's important. And so I pray that you just, again, help me to get out of the way and let you do it. Please bless our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn over to Genesis 1:1 now. You might not see the connection right away here, but I trust eventually you will. Who would like to quote? Let's see, somebody 12 years old and under, who would like to quote the first 5 verses of Genesis? Raise your hand high. Wow, look at all the volunteers. Anybody? First 5 verses of Genesis. Okay, Sophia. Quote the first 5 verses of Genesis, nice and loud. Thank you. Very good. In case you didn't hear, she got it just right. So, I'm going to ask a few questions here. Again, this is for the 12-year-olds and under. And I want some participation. So, raise your hand high if you know the answer to these questions. Raise your hand and tell me what God made on day 5. Anybody? No volunteers? I have 2 little volunteers down here in the front, but I'm hoping for some more. Day 5. There we go, Sharon. Day and night? Is that what you said? No? Not on day 5. It was a good guess.
Fish and birds.
Fish and birds. Very good. Okay, on day 2, raise your hand and tell me what God made on day 2. Anybody? There we go. The ground? No? Not on day 2. Sophia? The firmament. And what is the firmament? The air, the sky. That's where the birds fly. And we'll talk about that some more in a minute. Okay, day 6. What did God make on day 6? Elliot. I'm sorry?
People.
Yeah, people and what else?
Animals.
Animals, very good. And day 4. How about day 4? Anybody? Okay, Stephanie. Moon, stars, and sun. Good job. And how about day 3? What did God make on day 3? Come on, Bethany, you know it. Somebody, there's Chloe. Plants. Yeah, trees. And grass and all that stuff. Stephanie says trees and grass and bananas and watermelon. So, okay. So, what did God make on day 1?
Light.
That's good. Did he make anything else on day 1?
Darkness,
yeah. Anybody else got any ideas for day 1? The heaven and the earth. Good job. Anything else? Time and water. Very good. I think we got them all. So there's a lot of controversy in regards to these first few verses of Genesis, primarily verses 1 and 2. And they all raise a bunch of questions. So I suppose probably the biggest one is the gap theory that some of us may be familiar with. And that says that there's a gap between verse 1 and verse 2 of perhaps a really long time, maybe millions of years. In fact, the Bible that I'm reading from this morning, there's a note right there between verses 1 and 2. And it says, earth made waste and empty by judgment. What in the world is that all about? There's another note down here in regards to the same thing. It says, Jeremiah 4:12, 23 through 26 and Isaiah 24, 1 and 45, 18 clearly indicate that the earth had undergone a cataclysmic change as the result of a divine judgment. The face of the earth bears everywhere the marks of such a catastrophe. This is heresy, okay? There was no big gap of time between verse 1 and verse 2. And the same crowd basically, let's see, I got to make sure I'm paying attention to my notes or I'm going to get a hold ahead of myself. So I'm going to read a quote here from, I believe, from the gap theory people explaining what it is that they believe. According to the gap theory, there's a very large gap of time. I'm missing some stuff. Between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. The world that existed during this gap was destroyed, and God created in 6 days, in six literal days. No, I'm sorry. My notes are got blank spots. I don't know what happened. God created in 6 days. I don't know what happened to my notes. I don't know how to run the computer, and I did this on the computer, so. Well, anyway, I'll have to wing it. But anyway, the gap theory claims that God created everything, and he created it perfect. Sometime way back in before time. And then there was a big catastrophe, and they claim that it's when Satan and the angels fell, which that could have been when Satan and the angels fell. But they claim that there was this big cataclysmic catastrophe that resulted in the perfect creation being destroyed. And that is why we find in verse 2 that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So that's a result of this cataclysmic disaster. Well, obviously we don't hold to that theory, and it's a bunch of baloney, and so we'll move on. But I just wanted to point that out, that there are some really wild ideas out there that we have to watch out for. However, There are much more subtle discrepancies, and I don't know how to say it. Subtle discrepancies believed by even conservative Christians in a lot of cases, and that's what I want to try to focus in on here a little bit. So. The main one here being on day one, God made light. Now, that's a true statement. But is it a complete statement? And this is very widely believed. So a while back, I was sitting in the living room doing something, and I overheard my wife reading a textbook for the homeschool to my daughters. And she was reading about creation. And she read that on day one, God made light. And then on day two, God made the firmament and so on. And I thought, wait a minute. God made light, yeah. But what else? Didn't he make a whole bunch of other stuff on day one? And so I asked her, I said, is that all it says? And she said, yeah, it's all that it teaches that God made on day one. And I thought, well, now there's something wrong with that. How is it possible that only light was created on day one? And so I started doing some research, and I discovered that that's actually a pretty widely accepted point of view. So there's variations to this idea, I guess, but the idea is that creation starts in verse 3. But that just doesn't make sense to me, because then, well, what about the first two verses? It says in the beginning, right there. So that seems like that would be the beginning. But if creation starts in verse 3, what are we going to do with those first two verses? So I started doing some research and found out that, people actually believe that. And so I read further, and I thought, well, first, right away, I thought, okay, that's just not going to work. And I'm going to get into why here in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. So I'm going to read chapter 1, but I'm going to start in verse 3. And I want you to pay real close attention and listen and try to figure out from these verses when God created heaven and earth and water, and when did he start the clock or create time? Okay? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said, And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be given, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So, when did he create? Heaven, earth, water, and when did he start the clock? That's the question. Those are the questions. What's that? You wouldn't have a clue, would you? You'd think there must have been time before creation when he did all that stuff, because it doesn't say that he created it. You might say, well, he created the earth. Let's see here. I got to back up a little bit. So that raises a big question. What about those three things? Earth, heaven, earth, water, and when did he start the clock? Now, some people who claim this theory don't even try to explain it. They just say it and hope that nobody notices, I guess. Others, and I'm going to clarify this statement in a few minutes, so don't be offended. Others say, verse 1 is a summary statement, and verses 2 through 31, so the rest of the chapter, tells us how he did it. So, but we still have the same problem, even if we separate even if we include 2, verse 2, in the creation story, but we eliminate verse 1 and call that just a summary statement, then we have still the same problem. When did he create those things? Okay. If he started the clock in verse 2 or verse 3, then we have a problem because we got stuff going on before creation. And that's a problem because now we're at least giving place for the gap theory. Now, you might say, well, he created Earth on day 3. Okay, let's look at that. Day 3. Verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. So you could say, well, he just made earth right there. Well, there's several problems with that, but one is we have to talk about water, too, because it's right there with it. And so when did he make water? Well, in verse 9, water is already there. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. So the water is already there. So that's not when he created earth, or else there would be water, just a big ball of water, I guess you could say. But you can't call that earth because it's just a big ball of water. So, he didn't create earth right there in verse 9. And you could say, well, maybe he created water on day 2 right at the same time that he created earth. I guess you could say that, but that's not what the Bible says. It says, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. So, he pushes the water back, and the dry land shows up, because that's what was under the water, the mud, right? And then it dried out, and it was dry land. So, the other options for when he might have created water would be, what, day 2? Let's look at that. Talks about the water there. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. So, maybe he created water right then. And let it divide the waters from the waters. Well, I've actually heard people say that he created water right then, but it doesn't say that. It just says that he divided the waters. And so there was the way I understand it, what seems to make the most sense to me is that there was water all over the earth, and there was water above the earth in a vapor, some kind of a vapor going on. And he separated those two, and now there's sky where the birds fly, and we have clouds and sky, and we still have a ball called earth covered with water. And then he separates the waters, and now we have dry land and seas. That's what it says, if you read it. So he didn't make water on day 2. Well, maybe he made it on day 5 when he made the fish. Let's look at that. Day 5, verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. There's just tons of problems with that idea, because it doesn't say he created water right there, for one thing. It says, let the waters bring forth, so they were already there. Plus, he made seas in verse 6, or wherever that was, over here on day 2. So you can't really make seas without water. So that's a bad theory. So we have this problem. We have creation starting on day 3 or day 2. I mean, I'm sorry, on verse 3 or verse 2. But we don't have any water, and we don't have any earth, and we don't have any heaven. And so we got a big mess. So I kept doing some more research. And I finally found something that agrees with me. Or maybe it's the truth, because it makes sense with what the Bible says. So this is a quote that, if my computer didn't blow half of it away, I'm going to read from Answers in Genesis. Actually, first we're going to read Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. I want to turn over there real quick. Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So I think he made it in 6 days. That's what the Bible seems to teach here. And he made all of it. He made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is in 6 days. That means he didn't make a bunch of stuff and then start the 6 days and make some more stuff. That's not what it teaches at all. And that made me have a thought, but then my thought got lonely and left, so I'll have to let it go. So I'm going to read this quote from Answers in Genesis. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. And that everything was made in 6 days. Genesis 1:1 and Exodus 20:11. Before God began to create, there was absolutely nothing. God created everything we see from nothing. But what did he make on which day of creation week? We can read about what God made on day 1 in Genesis 1:1-5. The first thing he created was the earth. It was originally covered in newly created water, and there was darkness all around. I believe when he created earth, he also created outer space, or the heaven referred to there in verse 1, simultaneously. Because he had to have a place to put it. And I don't think that's talking, I could be wrong on this, but I don't think that heaven is talking about heaven where God dwells, because he already dwelt before that. And so I think that was already there, wherever that is. So I think that's referring to space, where he put everything. Then God said, let there be light, and instantly there was light. We don't know what this original light was, since the Bible does not tell us. But we do know that it wasn't the sun, because the sun wasn't created until day four. At the end of day one, God had made earth, water, light, earth, water, and light out of nothing. He saw that it was good. Then there was evening and morning, the first day. He doesn't say that he created time, but obviously he had to have started the clock right there. On your marks, get set, go. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Because if he didn't do it that way, then he did it after that, and then we got stuff going on before time. And then we're just catering to all the garbage, the evolutionists and the gap theorists and all those people. And it's not here. You have to read so much in between verses 1 and verse 2 to come up with that gap theory is just amazing. And, oh, that's what my computer blew away. That's too bad. I really wanted to read that. But according to what I read, the gap theory was created by Christians who wanted to be less divisive and try to kind of snuggle up to the evolution theory. And they had to read a lot in between those two verses, just a ridiculous amount of stuff. And it's not there. And why do you need to when it makes such perfect sense to just read it the way it's written? Some people wonder how could there be day and night, or evening and morning, without the sun. But all that's needed for day and night is a light source and a spinning, rotating earth. As we've seen, God created both a light source and a rotating earth on day one of creation week. So there was night and day right from the beginning, just as the Bible tells us. So you might ask, well, why are these things important? It just seems frivolous. There's no real spiritual meat here for me to grow by and challenge one another by or whatever. Well, there's several reasons why it's important. One is, imagine with me for a minute that we have dinosaurs and trees and watermelon and bananas and horses and cows and people, bunches of little kids and grown-ups and all that stuff that God made, all just floating around in the air with the birds, kind of flying around in the air with the birds. Or floating in the water, drowning, dead floating around on the water, on the earth. Because, no, you wouldn't have that, because that wasn't created yet, never mind. Just floating around in the sky. That's what you'd come up with if you start creation in verse 3. Because you got all that stuff, but you got no place to put it. So that's a problem. I don't know about you, but I feel like that's a problem. But there's some bigger problems with it. And this is what Satan likes. So this passage, again, has been under attack since the day it was written down, since when it happened. When God started creating, Satan started creating. well, as soon as Satan fell, whenever that happened, Satan started attacking this passage because he has an agenda. And I'm going to get into that in a second. So what was the first thing that Satan said to man, or in this case, woman? Let's go over to chapter 3 and read what the first thing Satan said to Eve was. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it. And then she adds, Neither shall ye touch it, which God didn't say, but anyway. The point is, in verse 1, Satan said, and this is the first thing he said to mankind, Yea, hath God said. So what's he doing there? He's questioning God to man. Did God really mean what he said? He knows he said it. Eve knows he said it. He's questioning whether he meant, whether he was serious about that or not. And this is why he has continued to attack this passage of Scripture forever, because he knows that if he can get Christians to question God or God's Word right off the bat, then he has won the first battle, and he's well on his way to winning all the battles after that, because now every time we read something from the Bible, we question, well, did God really mean that? Or is that really important? Is that really for us? Do we need to really worry about that? Because Satan put that right there in the beginning. Question God. Always question everything. And so he attacks the first passage to get us to start questioning. And that's why it's important. Yea, hath God said. And this brings me back to the verse we read in the beginning, 2 Timothy, verse whatever it was, 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Another reason why it's important is that, and I didn't write down the verse, but God tells us to have an answer for every man that asks us about the, however that goes, the hope that lieth in us. So maybe we're going to come across somebody sometime that challenges our position on the creation story. And so we need to know what happened, why it happened, and why their theory is bogus, so that we can explain it to them and show them that no, that's not what the Bible teaches. And we believe what the Bible teaches. So it's very important to get these things right. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for, again, for the opportunity to speak. And I just pray that you would help all the little ones to understand the things we talked about today and be able to just have a little clearer idea of how things began. Please just bless the rest of our day now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.